Ladies and gentlemen, it's live from Thursday early afternoon. What's up? Elliot Lane, Javier Jase here to bring you the coolest people in cannabis. We may or may not be talking about us, but we're for sure talking about a couple interviews later on in the show. Thank you all for tuning in. Appreciate it. A lot of news happening. Cannabis earnings. We're going to get into all that. But first and foremost, get us started. Producer Aaron Thomas. Where to start today? Y'all, thank you so much for sticking around with us. Really appreciate it. We, as I mentioned, are in the beginning, almost to the heart of cannabis earnings season. We had MariMed come out yesterday. We obviously started off the event of Q2 earnings season here with Tilray last week. That was a huge announcement. But Javi, how are we doing so far, man? I'm going to be honest. I think Q2 earnings thus far have been good. They've been good.
Well, you mentioned MariMed, MRMD, revenue growth of 10.7% year over year. Gross profits also larger than last year at 16.4 million versus 15 for last year. Gross margins a little bit shrunk just a little bit, 0.7 percentage points. But overall, very good. Very good.
Yeah. 6% sequential growth, too. That, always worth noting sequential growth, I think, in the cannabis space. Because a lot of times you'll see improvement year over year, but down 12% sequentially.
But then it's like seasonal, right? There's other elements playing into sequential growth. That's why I like always to check out the year over year. It's like when you report in restaurants, right? You look at same store sales, right? To understand like apples to apples, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think it's worth noting both. I will say MariMed, I think, is one of the cleaner balance sheets of public cannabis companies. Doesn't mean that they don't have, you know, some leverages on there. But when I look at their balance sheet, they have a really awesome credit, a credit opportunity there as reported by Viridian Capital last week. One of the best in the industry, actually. And obviously they are growing up to, 120 million a year plus. And their market cap is rapidly approaching some of the larger names on the LP side. So I don't know. MariMed for sure is one that I keep an eye on. And honestly, a lot of, well seasoned retail investors are also in on this one.
Yeah.
So just no financial advice here. MariMed, though, I think a very clean opportunity.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the CEO is speaking at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital.
You are not wrong. John Levine, CEO of MariMed, will be interviewed in a fireside chat by Eric Sloan, the CRO of SIBO Canada. So that's going to be awesome. Really phenomenal chat by a great operator. And then, of course, SIBO. Now, of course, they took over NEO Stock Exchange, which is where Eric came from. But SIBO, of course, the only exchange that will soon have in the U.S. that will soon have a cannabis listed stock being Columbia Care, hopefully.
Nice.
So that'll be interesting, right? When you if you can uplist Columbia Care now that they're not going through with the merger from Cresco to SIBO in the U.S. I mean, that's as big of news as the TSX listing for TerrAscend, I think.
If not bigger.
If not bigger. Because liquidity, though, it might be a little bit lacking liquidity wise, but I think news.
Yeah. It's not big. So much. SIBO is one of the top 10 exchanges in the world, I believe, by
volume. They're huge.
Granted, they trade a lot more in futures and stuff like that, but their volume is massive. And people investing are pretty agnostic, right? If they see an opportunity, they will jump into it.
Yeah. I don't think it's set, by the way. Columbia Care is not just going to automatically be on SIBO in the U.S., but I do think that that is the next MSO domino to fall. In that, outside of maybe Curaleaf hitting the TSX sooner. Okay, Javier. So a few stocks are watching here, man. MariMed, one other one I want to call out. I don't know if you have it on your watch list here, but High Tide. They got some really decent notes from analysts. Stifel initiated coverage of High Tide, HITI on the NASDAQ. They also got a buy rating from, who is it, Piper Sandler? don't know. It was another bank gave them a buy rating. Stifel initiated with the buy. So overall, I think analysts relatively bullish on what they're calling the leading Canadian cannabis retailer.
Bro, you called this like 3 years ago. You've been
I did.
About High Tide, about Rosh Grover forever, about their model, about their technology platform.
They're so good.
Up with Mr. Cannabis Stocks, not recommendation.
I have always loved High Tide. I've always loved it because I thought their model was very growable. They have a lot of assets. If they need any type of liquidation, they're going to be around for a long time. They're either a really good exit opportunity, but I don't think that's their plan because they are international. You know, they have a paraphernalia business here in the U.S. They have a warehouse in Las Vegas that we toured. Our producer, Aaron Thomas, and I toured two MJ Biz events ago. I think High Tide is a very clean stock, and analysts jumping on board. I got to say the validation feels good. Christopher Jimenez, hello. Thoughts on Curaleaf, C-U-R-A on the whatever exchange, and then C-U-R-L-F on the OTC.
I think
Curaleaf could get a nice big boost if they hit the TSX, but it's not going to be in the very near future. I doubt it's even this year.
Yeah, I think that the company overall, like, it's one of the biggest in America.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
It's a good company, but like, they have hit, for instance, a snag in Jersey. I remember maybe in July or something like that. Like, yeah, a few weeks ago, they cut their workforce in Jersey as, you know, amid a market glut. You know, it's tough times for everyone, for sure. But I do like the prospect for this company. And as you were saying earlier, you know, this is another international company, right? With operations in Europe, diversified, well-funded.
Boris came out and said something on X. God, it takes everything in me not to call it Twitter. Also, are they tweets? Are they excerpts? Excerpts by experts on X? Like what is it? Somebody help me out. What do we call these formerly known as tweets?
Tweets. Screw it. I'm not changing.
Obviously, screw it.
The day they launched, they were even suggesting that video on the platform was called X videos, which is something else.
Is it X spaces now?
Screw that, man.
Or SpaceX? X spaces? SpaceX? Oh, come on.
I love that one. Space.
Come on. Elon Musk, I'm available for hire for your marketing department. Thank you so much.
Dude, you can give Alexa a call. Alexa from X is also going to be.
She's going to be DJing our after party.
Spoiler alert.
Well, they better watch the show and they get spoilers.
Here's something extremely funny, amazing, different, unique, very cool.
Screw the celebrities. Alexa's bigger than them.
Executives in Twitter, X executives. So like current executives at X, formerly Twitter.
Yep.
They're DJing our after party at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference happening in, guess where? Chicago, September 27th and 28th. BZCannabis.com, come join us. You've already seen some of the lineup. Marimed, again. A bunch of big speakers.
It's going to be good. I mean, we've added several recently, y'all. Politico is going to be joining us to moderate a panel. I mean, we have some great media outlets, which means some great coverage will be coming out of the event as well. I think Green Market Report, I think Adweek is going to be there reporting. Y'all, this event.
Better?
Yeah, and keep an eye. You know, and I think this is where the show comes in handy, right? We always talk about our event. We always talk about news on our show. But our show comes in handy, as well as Cannabis Daily, and as well as Javier's News Desk. You can find this news in multiple different channels. But headlines, right? Any legislative headlines, Senate Banking Committee takes a vote on September 26th, up to September 26th, 7th, really, or 8th. The sentiment around this event changes. M&A potentially comes out of it. Investments potentially come out of it. If the HHS gets off its hands, takes that decision out of a drawer and hands it to the DEA. Perhaps that happens. I don't think that's going to happen before September 27th and 28th, but I hope I'm wrong. But keep an eye on any of that, because if anything like that happens, the entire mood of the industry shifts. let alone an industry event. And I'm excited for it. And Javi, by the time we get to Miami in mid-April of 2024 for our event after this upcoming one, it's going to be, I think, a different ballgame.
Hope so. Fingers crossed, man.
Elliot stepping off his pedestal. All right, Javi, what else is on your mind today, man?
I want your opinion on this. Jesse Ventura, the former governor of Minnesota, is seeking to launch his own cannabis brand.
Why the hell not? Is it like he set up the cannabis laws or like supported them and then is profiting off them? Is that the issue?
No, I mean, it's fair. It's fair. He said, I want to be the first major politician in America who puts his likeness, face, and everything behind cannabis. To be fair, Joe Exotic has done it first. He's a major politician, but dude, presidential candidate notwithstanding, former sheriff, run for
governor. I have zero issue with this. Dude, I mean, now, if you're in office and you're profiting off your decisions.
No.
Huge conflict of interest, right? I totally get that. The consultant that was the whatever official in Oregon is a perfect example of that scandal earlier this year. But I think once you're, you know, back to a regular private citizen, you have every right to invest. You have every right to create a business. And overall, his decision helped an industry. It helped a lot of people. And the only people who didn't profit off of it were other lobbyists. So as far as I'm concerned, let the man make some money.
Fair, fair. Following the footsteps of John Boehner, who years ago affiliated with Acreage Holdings. Vicente Fox, former president of Mexico, is also in the industry. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which company he's associated to right now. I know he worked with Chiron, with High Times. Now he works with
Paradise Drops
in Mexico. Shoot.
Javier Haas, international man of mystery, also in cannabis. But that being said, I honestly, I'm all for Jesse Ventura doing this.
My own cannabis brand.
Well, I will say
the Javi Hayes.
The Javi Hayes. Ooh.
And here's one that I don't know if I want to share it or
keep. Or the Hazy Haas. Hazy Javi.
Wait, I had one that was just great and I forgot about it.
Y'all, drop your Javi or Haas cannabis names into the chat. All right.
Here's the one I want. This is my rapper name. If anyone steals it, I will know you took it from here. Grandmaster Hash.
Grandmaster Hash.
So it's like Grandmaster Flash from from the old hip hop days. Grandmaster.
You guys ever notice though that like picking brand names for cannabis is almost like picking a drag name?
So your first pet and
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What is this? All right. Next up, guys. I know we're here to talk about cannabis stocks. Thanks for chilling with us. IIPR. They released their Q2. They beat expectations. A really solid quarter. Generated $76.5 million in revenues, up 8%, somewhere north of $2 billion market cap. Drove net income of approximately $1.44 per share for a total of almost $41 million. Quarterly dividend for each common share was $1.
Yeah.
So IIPR. This matters, right? This is why a REIT like IIPR matters. IIPR was one of the headlines going into 2023 after politicians failed to do anything with SAFE at the end of 2022 that people weren't going to be able to pay their bills. IIPR, we started to see, I think, a couple companies default. They weren't paying, blah, blah, blah. And here we are, two quarterly reports later, and IIPR is putting out something like that, right? I think what is happening right now, the industry and the markets themselves are terrible, right? People are suffering. However, if you're able to shift your business to operationally efficient and cash flow positive, and you're not too deep in it, that's what we're seeing, right? You know, people who have resources like IIPR are going to turn around. These large MSOs are not going anywhere because they have resources and they have a lot of people that have put money into them and are behind them. And that's why Canopy is not going anywhere either.
Nope. I mean, $8 billion from Constellation. are not going to waste.
No, Canopy is not disappearing. I'm sorry to say, they're not going to be a $0 price target. It's not happening.
Elliot Lane, who do we have from Canopy at the Benzinga Cannabis Council?
Look at that segue.
No company or a lawmaker or someone, and like every time, it's like almost it's a plus.
So
show.
If y'all want to hear what Canopy is doing, right? They have improved their debt. Their NT debt is pretty much addressed. Their LZ debt, not so much. You know, there are other things on their balance sheet that we don't like, but they are moving in the right direction. Whether they make it there or not, of course, is the big debate. But we will have CEO David Klein at our event. He will be one of the closing, if not the closing keynote, wrapping up on September 28th. We'll also have their chief strategy officer, Chris Edwards, will be speaking about strategies moving into the U.S. Obviously, the only topic we want to hear Canopy address is their Canopy USA and their strategies of moving into the U.S. and their updates there. So all in all, if you're interested in content around the stock of CGC, you better be watching the content September 27th and 28th because they are going to be addressing it.
Did you already peep the Maryland figures? If not, I want to quiz you. But if you've seen it, it makes
sense. I've seen it. I don't want to lie to you.
So I'm going to just show
it. I love the comparison, though, somebody made between Maryland, Missouri's first months on the job versus New York's 6 months on the job. It was sad. But Missouri and Maryland are hot.
Wilson Works did sell like $12 million, right, in cannabis.
Who
in
did?
The first months. Housing,
Housing Works?
Works
did. 6 months. 6 months, though, $33 million total in the state of New York.
Yeah, so this is $87 million in just the first month in Maryland, making honor to its name. Of course, the joke is just sitting there. Even like on the first 7 days, licensed shops raked in $21 million almost. Jersey sold $24 million in July, which I have been like extremely surprised.
By what? New York or Maryland?
No, Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland. I'm very pleasantly surprised. I mean, you think about Baltimore. You know, you have DC residents probably driving across their small border there. Right. So you have some pretty high metropolitans, but with Missouri, you not only have Kansas City and St. Louis, but you have surrounding states just streamlining into Missouri.
Look at Elliot, the cartographer.
I'll take that. Hey, man, if I ever lose my job in cannabis, I'm going to go into map making.
I love maps. It's like my favorite thing.
Ooh, another good segue. Federal people basically told consumers.
Federal people
told consumers, you need to buy a map to avoid smoking marijuana in national forests in the state of Minnesota. So if you're looking for a map, apparently I can provide it for you. I'll draw it right up. But make sure you do not smoke weed in national forests in Minnesota, or apparently I guess you will be prosecuted. So
have you ever heard of this thingy?
The iPhone?
It's called a phone, and it's got some map in it, you know?
You sassy.
You need to buy a map, they said. The only reason I would buy a map is like I'm out of rolling papers. It's like, okay, whatever. A map will do.
Go to your nearest gas station. All right, Javi, keep it going, man. What else do we have on our docket today?
Cool news out of Puerto Rico, where IGC Pharma is developing a clinical trial for Alzheimer's disease. Which
great.
I think holds quite a bit of promise.
It does it? Like what stage are they in?
No, this is like very early. This is, I think it's like phase two clinical trial at the moment.
All right, so Javi, let's set some groundwork, knowledge base here, right? So let's look at this from a try like a base perspective, which is what I'm basically looking at medicinally. When it comes to cannabinoids, how does THC directly affect memory, right? Right. You know, to my understanding, I don't have that understanding. So that maybe it's something for us to cover, right? Maybe it's something for us to do a little bit more digging, unless you have info on it for
what's
me now.
The question again? I am not a scientist. So, but like, what's the question?
What? You're not? Maybe producer AT is. No, I just don't understand how the cannabis plant is. I'm assuming there are other parts of this drug and this medicine that they are matching THC with, but I'd be interested in the purpose that THC plays within a medicine like this.
I mean, there's no evidence at the moment, like full scientific evidence. That's the whole point of conducting a clinical trial, right? To find out and confirm what we think. But there is like things, like there's some studies that suggest that that it could have a positive effect on the brain. But again, it's like there's also studies that say that the opposite, right? When it comes to THC. I will do deeper research.
I mean, I don't know. If you guys know in the audience, you know, I wish I knew everything. It'd make my life a lot easier. But I'll do some research as well. But I find it interesting, right? Like cannabis is an amazing plant, right? But I'm just curious, like where does it sit in the overall medicinal quality? We actually have a guest that just joined us that I truly think could help us understand what it's done for her and the power of the plant as she sees it. Javi, do you want to bring her on over, man?
Sure. Today we have the author of The Successful Cannapreneur, now also available in Espanol, J.M. Balbuena. A.T., let's bring her on.
Good afternoon, J.M. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. Lovely to have you. Thank you for joining us today. A lot to talk about in the cannabis industry. Never a boring day. But if you don't mind, J.M., can you just give us a little sense of your journey with the plant in the industry and where you sit in all this?
I mean, I got to say, cannabis saved my life. I was in the military. I was not a cannabis consumer prior to the military. I mean, I did in college, but not necessarily, you know, avidly. And so I was lucky enough to come across somebody that told me, you know, educated me about the medicinal benefits of cannabis. I was dealing with a sleep disorder that came from a concussion because I suffered a traumatic brain injury while I was in the military serving. And cannabis pretty much helps me to sleep. It helps me to rest. Prior to that, I had that sleeping disorder for 3 years. Imagine not sleeping through the night, waking up, you know, with the whole PTSD and the and what the TBI cost, waking up every hour, you know, not being able to get an actual consistent sleep through the night for 3 years. So I was super tense. You know, started getting depression, started, you know, having even attitude problems because I was always so tense and tired. And so one night smoking a joint with a friend, I slept like a baby and that was it for me. I started my journey as a patient. And then, you know, once I'm going to the dispensaries and seeing, you know, the flow of traffic, I'm like, wait a minute, this is an actual like industry. I always, you know, I come from a family of entrepreneurs and just seeing, you know, putting two and two together. I started just looking into it and met my business partner and the rest is history. You know, I've been in the industry since 2014, you know, have focused on the licensing because San Diego, where I'm from at that point, was starting to develop their licensing programs to allow people to do cultivation and all the different operations in that legal landscape. And so I started there early and here we are.
One follow-up and then Javi can jump in. Are you focused in your work within the cannabis space? You're obviously a patient as well. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to your work in the cannabis space, A, is it more as a consultant and you help other people thrive? Yes. And then B, Where is it just specifically California that you work, or do you work across the country?
No. So through doing consultant work, I have championed over 40 licenses throughout the legal states in California. I'm from Washington State, Hawaii, Illinois, and Colorado, and so in Las Vegas and Nevada, specifically in Las Vegas, a few there. And so with that, I also have my own licenses that we have championed with the businesses that I helped to found. And so what we did is, since we started early with the applications and reviewing and understanding the language and the requirements, from there, you know, having our own licenses, individuals were looking at us like, hey, can you help us? You know, we're going through the process. And so we started a consulting firm and, you know, helped people like that. And that's why I wrote the book, because I realized that a lot of people didn't necessarily, they wanted to be in the space because perhaps they were doing it as a legacy operator before, you know, the legal landscape started, you know, arriving. And so I wrote the book to put that information out there. Just knowing that, you know, maybe I had a little bit more information than other people since I started in the early days, wanted to, you know, to give my two cents and make sure I, had all that information in one place where people can just, find it and read it. And not only, you know, about the actual ins and out of the industry, but also the personal development, you know, that the stamina that you have to have in order to deal with an industry that is federally illegal, and all the things that happen, you know, the changes and how to circumvent, you know, your personal and with the business side of things. And so the book is pretty much a combination of those things. But no, I have, you know, my own licenses here in San Diego, California. We have a retail location. We have a manufacturing distribution facility. And so I do both, essentially, long story short.
We'll get back to these ventures. But, you know, if you could give us a couple of insights, key lessons and takeaways from your book, like tease it enough so that people are interested in buying it. But give us a little bit of a sense of the kind of teachings that we could get from the successful.
Absolutely. I try to do a few. My approach was, you know, to tell my personal story of how I went from a patient to a professional in the space and then migrated to being an entrepreneur, you know, by working my butt off and then getting sweat equity from some of the businesses that I was helping. And then, you know, just give an insight as to, you know, what is, you know, the difference between being in the CBD space only, and then the differences between the licenses as far as like the retail license, the manufacturing distribution, even like lab testing. And you know, that's a way also to get into the space, cultivation, and just identifying the different verticals, that people can get into. And then, you know, the approach was also reflective, where I pretty much let the reader see in themselves, like, what do you bring to the table, you know, and then understand what you bring to the table and how you can provide value to the space. And this is the space, and this is what it looks like. These are the hardships. This is the opportunity. And then at the end in the chapter, the mindset is the last chapter, is the mindset of a successful entrepreneur. It's just, you know, giving you some strategies of how to make sure your mental health is taken care of, and you know, in how I did it. And I was able to stay in the industry. And, you know, the successful entrepreneur doesn't necessarily mean like, you know, oh my gosh, I'm this successful person all the time. You know, it's just being able to still stay in this industry and maintain withstand the difficulties in the dynamic environment and all the
successfully
changes.
Successfully navigate it and stay afloat.
Exactly. It's like, yeah,
if you're floating on a door.
Like Titanic, you want to be not Jack, but the lady. Essentially.
So, you know, JM, you've been in the space for a while. Mm-hmm. You have a book really about entrepreneurialism in cannabis. and helping people find how to be a successful one with their strengths and improving their weaknesses. Can you give me a sense of what is one thing that cannabis entrepreneurs in your eyes just consistently lack? Like, what is the one piece of knowledge, the one piece of experience, or just the one resource that you find is always in need?
Capital. I would say that. You know, that is, I think, one of the things that is keeping the industry, the growth, like, I don't want to say stagnant, because there's still growth happening. You know, we're getting creative in the way that we circumvent these challenges. But the lack of access to capital, you know, like a regular business, I believe that makes a lot of people give up. You know, you start your journey, you may have your own capital, and then, you invest it all. And next thing you know, in all industries, business need capital to grow. You know, you scale by, you know, raising capital and being able to, you know, buy bigger properties, you know, hire more qualified individuals. And then in this industry, the lack of capital, you know, and access to capital, like regular businesses, you know, I think that is the main thing that keeps people from being able to get to the next level faster, or, you know, or traditional, in a traditional way.
You know, we're a little bit over time, but I got to ask you one more question to close it up. Why do you want to boycott shitty weed? What do you got against shitty weed?
I hate it.
No, I'm kidding. But, like, explain it, please. What is BSW?
Boycott Shitty Weed is my advocacy, brand. With that, the message is, you know, there's more than just consumption. First of all, yes, it is important to make sure that you know that the quality of the cannabis you're consuming is good, because we have an endocannabinoid system. You know, this is not just, you know, drinking malt liquor to forget your woes and stuff like that. I always advocate for the intentional use. You know, the plant can help you with things like anxiety. And I'm speaking from my personal experience. You know, even if I want to get creative, I know the strains, you know, that what to consume in order to bring that out of me. So I think that's super important. And that's one sense. The other part is understanding, you know, that supporting businesses that support, let's say, social equity, support diversity and inclusion, support, you know, things that are important to the community. And that's another part, you know, if a business is not doing that, a cannabis business in particular, or any business, I boycott that too. And so that's just a part. It's a layered thing. But for the brand itself, in the advocacy side of things, I use the different collections that we put out to put out information about the industry, the cannabis plant in itself, like why prohibition and, you know, was horrible, and, you know, what led us there. So, for instance, my second collection is called Propaganda: Heroes versus Villains. In that one, I used the different logos and graphics to expose, you know, what Nixon did and how, you know, he criminalized cannabis and obviously drug abuse, when it's actually a health issue. And so with all the content that we put out, we just explain those things just to educate individuals about how we got to where we are, and also educating about how they can contribute to a better future.
Love it. One quick one to close it up. And this is like a yes or no question, but it's like, this is a debate that has been ongoing here. It's is all cheap weed shitty, or can great cannabis be affordable?
I think great cannabis can be affordable. I mean, for instance, here in California, you can grow 6 plants. And so you can do it on your own and make sure that, you know, you're using inputs to grow the plant that are good and not necessarily, you know, super expensive. I think it gets expensive when you when the greed sits in of corporate. But it doesn't have to be like that, in my opinion. I love feel it. Like a lot of the times when you have individuals that know what they're doing and doing it for the culture, doing it, for to make the industry be, because you know, the culture of cannabis is community and compassion. And so it started like that. People had in the past were contributing and people were consuming quality stuff for medicinal purposes, you know, back in the 90s and 80s to help people with that were dealing with AIDS and cancer and things of that nature. And so it was affordable. Most people were giving it out for free, you know, Dennis Barone, Mary Jane Rathburn, like, and so, yes, it is possible, you know, long story short, in my opinion.
Nuestra amiga dominicana, J.M. Balbuena, is a woman of many hats, author of A Successful Entrepreneur, advocate, entrepreneur, filmmaker, Navy vet, managing partner at Jax, CMO at Prime Harvest, the creator of Boycott Shitty Weed, and I don't know how many other things. Go check her out on social media. J.M., thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, J.M.
Gracias.
Really insightful.
Muchas gracias a ustedes. Thank you very much, you guys.
Have a thank great. You. We'll talk to you soon.
Sound good.
I wish we could have gotten to the veteran aspect. You know, it's one conversation I don't think we have enough on here. But that being said, conversation for another day. So we should have her back. JM, you're coming back. Awesome, y'all. Really appreciate you all tuning in. That's it for today. A lot of stocks to cover. It won't stop. We'll be back on Tuesday at 1 Eastern time.
Did I mention that we have a conference coming up? Come on, bccannabis.com. You know the drill.
Yep. Get your tickets. ELLIOT20 for 20% off. Woo. Your tickets. Elliot20. Go ahead and grab them now. We have a stacked agenda, y'all. It is going to be sick. Benzinga.com/cannabis for all your news throughout the day, or download the Benzinga app and scroll over to the cannabis news feed. It's stellar. With that said, we will see you again tomorrow morning for Cannabis Daily, and we will see you again here 1 Eastern time on Tuesday for another wonderful round of interviews. Until then, peace. Peace.